Welcome up, Jonathan Brood.
Hey, good evening, you guys. How was your day? Good, a good day. Hey, I got to tell you, this afternoon I watched you playing flickerball, and I'm just going to talk about this while I get set up here. But I was watching a little bit of flickerball. You guys, was that fun? Yeah. Hey, this is what I was thinking about as I walked away from watching you play flickerball. It fits with our theme. Did you know that? Because what I saw was people running around waiting for the opportunity to get the ball. And when they got the ball, they had the opportunity to make the most of it, right? You wanted to do the best pass that you could. You wanted to make the best throw at the block of wood that you could. And you know what? That's just like life. We spend our life looking for those opportunities, and when we get them, we want to make the most of them. And so, as we get started this evening, that was not in my notes. But I just thought about that as I was watching you guys play today, and it looked like you were having a good time taking every opportunity that you could with the ball. Tonight, as we get started, I'd like to just have a word of prayer, and then we're going to take a look at some things this evening. So let's pray. Father God, you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And Lord, we come to before you this evening, and we ask, Lord, we ask that you be our teacher. God, I'm not smart enough. I don't speak well enough. But your Spirit speaks clear. God, I ask that your Spirit will teach us tonight. And we want to give you the praise, honor, and glory for what you're going to do in our lives this week. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys already got the opportunity to hear one life story. I'm going to share with you another life story this week. And it's not mine. All right? I'm going to share with you a life story of someone who lived about 3,000 years ago. Now, before we get started on this, when you start thinking of somebody that lived 3,000 years ago, you kind of think, has nothing to do with me. But I think as we spend time looking at this man's life over the next week here, we're going to find that there's lots of things that are similar from his life to yours, to mine. All right? Now, I think the best way for me to do this is for me to pretend that I'm that person. Okay? And I don't know if I've had any of you in my middle school classes in the past, but I always have this thing, it's kind of weird, but I have to take a drink and then I'm that different person, all right? So, you have to bear with me, I'm kind of weird sometimes. Hi. I come from a family much different than yours. I come from a huge family. I'm talking super big. My dad had 8 wives. And with each wife, he had multiple children. And my family was massive, brothers and sisters everywhere. In fact, we didn't even live in one place. We lived in many different places. There's something else about my family that might be a little bit different than yours. My dad was a king. And as a king, my dad had absolute power in all the country. And whatever he said happened. If he said, just take somebody's head off, boom, it was gone. Can I tell you something? Growing up in a home where your dad is king has a lot of pressure. Do you realize that? Do you realize that when your dad's king, you have to act in a certain way? If you don't act in the right way, people are going to go, oh, that king. And then your dad's going to go, boy, you better shape up. You're making me look bad. There was a lot of pressure living in my home. I want to tell you something else about my dad. My dad loved God. My dad loved God with all of his heart. And my dad made some big mistakes. He made some huge mistakes. But I want to tell you something about my dad. Even when my dad made a mistake, he would go back to God and he would beg God to forgive him. He'd say, God, forgive me. I've sinned. I've done wrong. And every time, God forgave him. My dad loved God. And God would forgive him for his sins. Because God is faithful. Well, as I said, there's a lot of pressure growing up in a home where your dad is king. But even in that home, you would think that we'd all behave well, but we didn't. I had a brother, his name was Amnon. Amnon was my oldest brother, and Amnon one day realized that he was in love with my sister. Sick, huh? Yeah. You know what? I got to tell you about this sister. Her name was Tamar, and Tamar was beautiful. In fact, I think you guys today would say she's hot. Yeah? I mean, I'm telling you, she was all that. My brother, Amnon, he wanted to have sex with my sister, and so he took and he raped her. Against her will, he made her have sex with him. And I want to tell you what that does to a family. Sin always destroys and rips apart. And I want to tell you, it ripped apart my family. It made my family very dysfunctional. It made it a mess. My other brother, I had another brother named Absalom. He was a full brother to Tamar. And let me tell you, he was angry. He was so mad. Wouldn't you be if somebody did your sister wrong? Oh. But this is what he did. Nothing for 2 years. After 2 years, he was having this big party because he got done shearing all of his sheep. And Absalom had a lot of sheep. And they sheared all their sheep and all the guys came together. And Absalom went to our dad, King David. And King David, he said, Dad, I want to invite all the brothers to come to this party. And so we all went to this party that Absalom was throwing. The party went from fun to horrible, like that. Because Absalom said, when I give you the signal, I want you to kill Amnon. That's what he told his servants. And I want to tell you, I was scared to death because I looked up and I saw Absalom's servants go over and they killed Amnon and he dropped dead. And I didn't know if I was next. And I ran and jumped on my mule and so did all my other brothers. And we got on our mules and we got out of there as fast as we possibly could. Because we didn't know if we were going to be the next. Times got hard in our dysfunctional family. Absalom wasn't allowed back in the castle. He wasn't allowed back. In fact, he lived far away for a while. Now, Amnon was supposed to be the next king. He was the oldest brother. That's just the way things worked. And after Amnon was killed, all of a sudden this great question was raised, who was going to be the next king? Who was going to take over after my dad? And I got to tell you that several of my brothers decided that it should be them. And at different times, they tried to take over. And one time, it was Absalom again. Absalom came, and he went and he raised up the people because he was a great speaker. The people loved Absalom. He was a wonderful-looking guy. All the girls thought he was a hunk. Not sure a hunk of what, but they thought he was something else. And Absalom raised a crowd of people, and Absalom started to come to the palace. And his goal of coming to the palace was to overthrow Dad. Do you know what happens when Dad gets overthrown? All the other sons get killed because Absalom wants no threat whatsoever. And that night, in the middle of the night, we had to leave the castle. We had to run for our lives because Dad said he wasn't going to fight. Those were hard days. Through a course of time, Absalom was killed because he was trying to kill the king. Dad was never the same. He just kind of went through the motions from that point on. You guys, the question was still, who was going to be the next king? As Dad got old, and the time came where he had to make the decision who was going to be the next king, God told Dad that I should be the next king of Israel. Did I have what it takes to be the king? Did I have what it, was I good enough? Was I going to be able? I mean, there's lots and lots of people to be in charge of. There's important decisions to make. Could I, Solomon, be the next king? My dad loved God with all of his heart. Was I going to serve God as I was the king, or was I going to serve me? I had a tough decision to make. I had to decide who was I going to serve, because I want to tell you, when you go to be king, you can't be kind of hemming and hawing. You need to know whom you serve, who's going to be in charge. And tomorrow we'll find out what Solomon decides. All right, and so this week, you guys, what we're going to do is we're going to just take little pieces of Solomon's life, we're going to look at them, and then we're going to talk about some of the opportunities that Solomon had. All right, and so, as we talked about this morning, with Bandit, we talked about God being greater than your past. Here's one of the opportunities Solomon had to work through. He came from a home that was a mess, didn't he? You sit there and you think about it. If my family was that screwed up, I'd probably be pretty ashamed. Solomon had to decide if his past was going to determine who he was in the future. And Solomon by himself could not make the difference. He needed God's help. You guys, I don't know about your past, but I guarantee inside this room, there's some of you that have a past that's not so good. Maybe your parents have made some very bad decisions. Maybe your parents have treated you very poorly. Some of you have been called names that you should never have been called. And you may feel that God could not love you. I want to tell you guys, we're going to look at tonight that God says different than that. You see, every one of us have a past. Every one of us has a past, and God is greater than your past. Tonight we're going to take a look in Ephesians chapter 2. I'm so glad that you read some for us. Ephesians chapter 2. And as we look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says this, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin." You know what? That is everybody in this room. It doesn't matter if you grow up in a Christian home. It doesn't matter if you grow up in a home where you don't know who your dad is. You don't know anything about. It's just a mess. It doesn't matter. Because according to the Word of God, you were dead in your sins. Why? Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Right? Here's what it is. If you haven't heard this before, please understand that God expects perfection. Not because he's a meanie, but because God is holy. And because in God's holiness, he cannot stand sin. And you and I were born with sin. We were born into sin with this sin nature. And so we were dead because of our sins in which we once lived. So here, get this. All of us has a past that separated us from God. Every one of us. All right? In which you, we're going to keep reading, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us, did you get it? Not just some of us. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our own sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. You know what I thought about that when I read it? Not me. I was 5 years old when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I did not have desires and thoughts that weren't right. Do you know what I did? I did. When I was about 5 years old, I stole a penny so I could give it in the offering. That was my desires. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath, basically meaning the result of our sin was separation from God forever and ever. Hey, you guys, look at verse. And I lost it, sorry. Did I bump something? I must have. Okay, I bumped it. Here we go. Look at verse 4. There it is. It ran away on me. What does the first two word or the first word say? But. All right? And if you look close, because of his great love for us, God. Here's the deal. But God. It doesn't matter about your past, but God. I can't change my past. I can't create my future. But God can. You guys, God, because he loves you, wants to have that relationship with you. He wants you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and cleanse you from all your sins. Now, we're going to skip along here a little bit, but as Justin said earlier in verse 8, can you earn this? Can you earn it? You know what? If you were raised in a Christian home, okay, Solomon was raised in the home of a king. He should have automatically had great privilege, right? If you were raised in a Christian home, does that automatically make you a Christian? Yeah, but I want to tell you, my mom and dad have great faith. Here's what it comes down to. I need to have faith. Romans 2, verse 8, we're going to jump to that. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. All right? Through faith. Believe that Jesus Christ is God the Son, that he died on the cross for you, that he took your sins and he paid the punishment for your sins, that he by dying, he paid the punishment, and then he rose again, and he's alive right now. You guys, that's the faith. This is not of yourselves. You can't earn it. It's a gift of God. Not by works, so no one can boast. Did you know that God put that verse in there for me? He did. He knew I was coming, and he knew that I would go, ha, I'm a pretty good guy. Do you see what I did? I know I'm the only one like that, right? No, I don't think so. God knew that us humans have this tendency that whenever we do something, we can get prideful. Do you know that I've been prideful about being humble? Have you ever done that before? Boy, I'm a pretty humble guy. Yeah. Isn't that ridiculous what we do sometimes? Hey, the second thing. Solomon came to the point where he had to make a decision. Was his faith that his father had going to be the same faith that he had? Was he going to believe in the Lord God? We talked about this again a little bit this morning. Here's my question for you. Is this going to be your faith? Are you going to choose? Are you going to choose to believe on Jesus regardless what happens? Do you know when this really came to a head for me? I got the opportunity playing football. I played football in high school, played football in college. In high school, I used to leave practice early on Wednesday nights to go to church. Guess what everybody started calling me? Church boy. That was my name. I got called church boy all the time. Do you know what? I'll be honest with you. It did not feel good to be called church boy. It wasn't meant as a nice thing, and I knew it. And I had to decide, was I going to live in a way that says, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, or is I going to just kind of give up and act in a way like everybody else so they would quit picking on me? You guys, you're at a stage in your life right now where it is the right time for you to decide, is Jesus going to be your Lord and Savior, not your mom and dad's? And I'm not saying you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior before. You know what? I'm saying this is a time where you need to stand up and you got to say, I believe. And it doesn't matter what people call me. It doesn't matter what people say. I choose to believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. Remember, we also talked about love God with all your heart. That's a choice Solomon had to come down to. And you know what? I was trying to think about what are the things that get in the way of us loving God with all of our heart. This isn't something that I'm just making up, just so you know here. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 says this. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." It's a commandment of Jesus. You guys, I have this chair up here tonight because I believe every one of you have one of these in your life. A chair. No, a throne. You have a throne in your life. And who or whatever sits on that throne is what is in control of your life. What is it that sits on the throne of your life? I know, Jesus does. Right? Because we've been raised, that's what we're supposed to say. No, seriously, think about it. What is it that consumes you the most? For me, it was football. I lived, I breathed, I died football. It was my life. And I will be honest with you, I worshiped football. Oh yes, I claim that Jesus was my Lord and Savior, but I worship football. The way I ate had something to do with football. I had to make sure I ate just right. Do you know that I would get up early and I'd work out, and I'd work out, and I'd work out, and I'd do all this stuff because it was all about football. Do you know why I got decent grades in school? Football. You don't get good grades, you don't play. Okay, that's good enough for me. I'll get good grades. It was my God. It's what sat on the throne of my life. You guys, I want to ask you, what is it that sits on the throne of your life? Is it sports? Is it girls? Or boys? Is it being popular? Man, I got to be cool. That's what's most important. Because I got to be cool, man. I want people to like me. You guys, honestly, take some time and think about it. Because this is what happens. I got to tell you, I would take football off and I'd put Jesus on, and you know what football would do? It would jump right back on that chair over and over and over again. And I had to make a decision many times, sometimes a couple times a day, but over and over and over again, I had to decide, Jesus is Lord of my life. He's much more important than football. And I'll tell you how it happened. One of my college football coaches, we walked into practice in August, and he said, "This is the most important thing in your life." And I went, "He's right. That's not right. This isn't good." And when somebody said that to me, all of a sudden it clicked that it wasn't supposed to be. You guys, what is it that sits on the throne of your life? So as we get ready to close tonight, you guys, I just have to ask you the questions that I asked you this morning, or maybe the points that I made this morning. God is greater than your past. And if you have something in your past that you don't feel that God can forgive you for, please come talk to me. I would love to show you in the Word of God where God says He can forgive you for all. I encourage you to make your faith yours. Is it? Do you believe what you believe because that's what you believe, or is it because that's what you're expected to do? And can you honestly say that you love God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul? Boy, that's tough. but continue to take the stuff off the throne and put Jesus on the throne. That's my encouragement for you guys tonight. Let's pray. Father, we exalt you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, I pray that you give us the ability to really discern our hearts. Lord, help us to really ask the questions. Help us to let go of the past. Help us to let go of our pride. And God, I pray that we will choose to follow you for ourselves. And that we will love you with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and with all of our soul. Not so that we can be prideful, but so that Jesus Christ can be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.